What a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. My name is Joe, for those of you that don't know me, and I've got the privilege of sharing the word this morning. We've been on a beautiful journey as a church, exploring God's ways, haven't we? The last 2 weeks has been especially special, having Jonathan Stanfield with us last week and the week before, our lead elder Kevin sharing beautiful words. And what I want to start with this morning is to draw such a profound parallel from the past 2 Sundays for us. Jonathan preached from Psalm chapter 1, and Kevin preached from the book of Ephesians. And in both of these scriptures, there are 3 stances that appear. Sit, stand, and walk. In Psalm 1, it says, sit not in the seat of mockers, stand not in the path of sinners, walk not in the counsel of the wicked. And then 2 weeks ago, Kevin spoke from Ephesians, and there are the same 3 stances. Sit with Christ in heavenly places, stand firm in the armor of God, and walk worthy of your calling. And of course, that's the emphasis that Kevin placed on that scripture. So it's clear that from the psalmist to Paul, God is interested in where and with whom we sit, stand, and walk. Right? And so when I close this morning, I want you to consider where you've been sitting, standing, and walking. And maybe there's a prompt for you to change some of your ways. I want to continue on the same thread of this journey with God. And I believe God is speaking one message through multiple voices. Jonathan reminded us not to walk in the wrong way. Kevin taught us to walk worthy. And I want to speak to us today at what it means to walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. And I want to say that your devotion determines your direction. And that's ultimately going to affect your destination. And I pray that the outcome would be that we go where God leads us. Simple enough. That we would go where God leads us. Amen? So I've been having a question that's been lingering in my mind. It's a simple question, but a significant one. It's one of those questions that cuts to the very purpose of our lives. And I want to pose this question to you. And it's this. Do you believe God has a plan for us? Do you believe that God has a plan for us? And I'm not asking this as a rhetorical question. I'm seriously asking you to respond to this question. I actually want you to turn to the person next to you and answer whether you do believe that or not. And you get a bonus point if you can quote a scripture that proves it. So quickly tell the person next to you, what do you think about this question? Okay, I think most of us would agree that God does have a plan, but recently the fear of God came upon me about something very specific, and it's the fear that I would miss my kids growing up. And you know, people often say that your kids grow up so fast, and I really thought about that statement, your kids grow up so fast. And what I think it actually means is that a child goes through certain development phases, right? And within each one of those development phases, there are a limited number of intimate moments that you get to share with them. When they first crawl, when they first walk, when they play their first sport match, and every other match that they play during their school career, those are limited number of moments that you get to cherish with them. And the fear of God came upon me that I might be so busy with my own plans that I might miss God's plan and His instruction to me as a parent to steward my kids well, because I might be busy with my own things. And the second fear that came upon me is that I might actually miss the calling that God has on my life. Kevin said we must walk worthy of our calling. And that's a serious instruction that we must consider and not just carry on without really asking ourselves, where am I heading with my life? Am I walking according to the calling that God has for me? And I thought of these two words, destiny and destination. And they are kind of the same root word, right? They both have this direction and movement inside of them. And the thing is, we won't just drift into our destiny. One day wake up and there we are. No, it's an intentional walking toward it. And if we're not walking with Jesus, we can't arrive at the destiny that He has planned for us. Does that make sense? Amos 3 verse 3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? So there's a direction that Jesus wants to take you and me and us as a church. But if we're not walking with Him, we won't get there. And so at this moment, after my introduction, I want us to just pause and pray that this word would sink into your heart. That it won't just be information, but it would become revelation and real to you. So could we take a moment and just bow our hearts before the Lord and let's pray for this message. Father God, we come before You as Your people. Not perfect, but purchased. Thank You that You have not called us to walk in this life alone. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And today we ask that You would open the eyes of our heart and see You walking beside us. Lord, many of us have been running after success or comfort. Some of us have been drifting, unaware we've wandered off the narrow path. But today, Holy Spirit, bring a gentle realignment. We pray that the word would not be mere words, that it would convict and restore. Let every scripture come alive. Let the voice of Jesus today be louder than the noise of the world. Lord God, teach us to walk in step with Your Spirit. Where we've been sprinting ahead, slow us down. Where we've been lagging, draw us closer. Where we've been distracted, focus us again on the face of Jesus. We declare this to be holy ground, Jesus. Take Your rightful place. In Your powerful name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, I want to tell you a story of where this preach actually began. It was about a month ago that I had to take a car into Barron's Bellville for a service. And the morning I dropped my kids off at school and I typed into the GPS Barron's and he'd go. And I saw it was about 25 minutes and I realized, wow, traffic must be quite heavy because it's not that far. I phoned my wife and asked her if she would meet me there to bring me back after I dropped the car. And then off I go, listening to music and, you know, just following the GPS blindly. And when I looked up, after 25 minutes, it says, Barron's N1 City. So, obviously, I haven't been paying attention. It took me a back road. And then I realized, oh my goodness, I'm lost. I immediately had to do the humble call and phone my wife and tell her, I'm lost. I'm going to be a couple of minutes late. And on my way to the right location, the first thing that popped into my mind is, this is a great story for a sermon. And then I thought, I want to teach you guys the three laws of lost. Number one is, nobody wants to be lost, right? You don't wake up one morning and just think, I just feel like getting lost today. Number two is, you don't know you're lost until you're lost. Okay, so at some point, it just dawns on you like, oh my goodness, I'm lost. And then the third and most important one is direction. Not intention determines your destination. I had full intention to be at the right location at the right time and not make my wife upset. But because I went in the wrong direction, I didn't arrive there. Robert Frost in 1916 wrote the famous poem, and it ended like this. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And of course, there's this parallel in Scripture of the narrow road and the broad road. And we have a choice to make which direction we're going to take. So in it, we find the spiritual principle of the path, which says that our devotion determines our direction and ultimately our destination. It's not just our intentions. It's our decisions that we make every day. And devotion is more than belief. Devotion is something that you give your heart to, something that you give your time to, something that you give your focus to. It's something you're willing to sacrifice for. That's the decisions that you're going to make, and that's the course that you are taking. So I want us to turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Please, if you can turn with me in your Bibles. If you haven't brought your Bible along, please remember it. Next week, I've got a beautiful bookmark now to use as well. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, this is going to be our key scripture for the morning. It says the following. As you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. It's a nice and short one. Easy memory verse. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Now, Paul is writing this to the Colossian church. They are a young church in Asia Minor. And among them were some false teachers that went about blending Greek philosophy, mysticism, and legalism with Christianity. They claimed that faith in Jesus wasn't alone. You need something else, some special knowledge or rituals. But the problem is that Jesus plus something will always cause the something to lead you astray. And now Paul is reminding them, saying to them, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, He is the foundation, just like that, keep walking in Him. With a foundation metaphor, build the building now on the foundation. Don't just leave it as a foundation. You see, the Christian faith and life isn't just a moment of belief. It is a journey in the person of Jesus. He said, now I want to break it up, this verse, in three parts. The first part, he says, as you have received Christ. Many of us sitting here today have had a moment in your life where you have received the Lord Jesus into your life, right? And for me, it was at a first year's university camp. I was there for the girls, but God had a different appointment with me. I had these massive blue bull pantoffles or slippers, and I got saved from those two. And at this camp, in the hall, during a worship session, for the first time in my life, I raised my hands in worship. And as I raised my hands and closed my eyes, there was this picture that came into my head of this giant hand of God reaching out to my tiny little hand and prompting me to follow Him. And then I started walking. Just in childlike faith, I started walking down the aisle. And when I opened my eyes, I was in front. And the guy leading the service called me up and he says, now you preach. And at that moment, I received the Lord Jesus and I received my call to ministry as well. And you've got a similar story that you received Christ Jesus. And now Paul is saying, as you received Him, now follow Him or walk in Him. So what I needed to do was to keep looking towards heaven and seeing that hand leading me. And for those of you that watch MotoGP, you know that the bike goes where the eyes go. So the guy needs to change his direction. He needs to change his focus. The bike will follow. And similarly, our heart is the eyes of our lives. What we give our heart to, that is where our treasure will be. That is where our whole posture will go. And all our decisions will follow what we give our heart to. And then the last part of this verse says, in Him, in Him. And that was such a light bulb moment for me when I read those words in him. So we're not just walking alongside Jesus as if he's our partner next to us. We're actually walking in him. There's an immersing of us inside of him. And the best illustration I can give for this is Petra and I went on a little date recently playing Tempo and Bowling. And I remembered as a child, you could put up the rails, right? That the ball don't go off the rails and that you're sure to hit your target. And I felt that's such a good analogy of what it means to walk in Christ, where we don't go off the rails. Because when we sin, the word literally means to miss your mark. So when we go outside of him, outside of that narrow path, that is when we sin. Now, how do we actually walk in him? Like any journey, walking with Jesus depends on three things: the right direction, the right companion, and the right load. And those are the three things that I quickly want to unpack for us. Number one is the right direction. That is not just believing, but actually following Jesus, following his lead. Many people want Jesus as a savior, as a ticket to heaven. Yes, I'm not going to hell. I received Jesus. Now I'm going to heaven. But not everybody wants him as a guide, as the one that is actually determining the decisions that you make on a daily basis. And yet Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." So the question I'm asking you today is, are we following him, going in his direction, or are we just believing in him? It's easy to believe in him, know that he exists, that he died upon the cross, but to follow him is something different entirely. It's almost like getting a personal trainer, and you get this trainer, you know that this person has got what it takes to get you fit or to lose a certain amount of weight. You've seen their program, you like the program, even posted about it, but you don't show up at gym. That is to say that you believe in them, but you're not actually following them. And it's like the guy that signed up for a one-year membership at the gym and thought that means going one time a year, you know? Instead of lifting weights, you're lifting excuses. Believing in Jesus and following him is two different things. If we believe in Jesus, but we deal with people however way we feel like it, that's not following him. You can't say that you love Jesus, but still hold grudges, or talk behind people's back, or only hang with the people that you want to hang with, and not with the people that God's actually sending on your path, maybe to disciple. If you believe in Jesus, but you make your own plans, that's not following him. It's not you that decide the hobbies that you undertake, or the holiday plans that you have. December holiday is coming up, and as a family, we decided this year, we're actually going to pray and ask Jesus, what is his plans for our December holidays, instead of just following the traditional, we go there or there. If you believe in Jesus for providing, but not for spending, and that's not following Jesus. It's oftentimes we trust him to provide for us, but when he does, how do we actually steward what he's given us? I prayed that the Lord would provide for me in my business. And an opportunity came my path, the biggest opportunity in my 10-year career. I wrote a proposal to this really big corporate company, which they accepted. I was amazed. And as I was about to send the contract, the Holy Spirit prompted me and said, "This one isn't actually from me." And I couldn't understand it, because this was going to put me in the pound seats. And it was actually during the time that we had the corporate fast as a church. So during the lunchtime prayer, I came to the church and I asked one of the elders to pray with me to make sure this isn't, you know, just a random thought. I asked Pietri to pray for me, or to pray with me, because she couldn't believe that this isn't from the Lord. And I said, "Go and pray about it." And she came back and said, "You know what? You're right. God said, this isn't from him. And we had to let it go. And only a while later, the Holy Spirit revealed to me why. And he said, this one was actually going to hijack you from the purposes that I got for you. So my mini challenge to you today is to show me your feet, not just your faith. Your devotion is your direction. What are you devoted to? The second part of this journey is the right companion. Recognizing his presence beside us. You know, this life that we are in the 21st century is so fast-paced. We're constantly asking, what's next? And because we're asking what's next, we don't always recognize who's next to us. The famous Emmaus Road, where Jesus walked with his two disciples, found them disillusioned and disappointed. Their hopes were crushed, their faith was shaken. And they were faithful. They loved Jesus. They were talking about him. And at this very moment, this stranger walks up to them, and they're talking about him, not recognizing that he's actually there right beside them. And it was only later on that they recognized him. And Luke chapter 24, verse 31, we read that as he broke the bread, their eyes were open. Have you ever wondered why at this exact moment, when he broke the bread, did they recognize him? I believe it's because they saw the nail-pierced hands. And at that moment, when they saw the scars, they realized it's no stranger. This isn't just a teacher. This is the crucified one. Risen, alive, and still bearing the marks of love. Those scars told a story that words couldn't. This is how much it cost to walk with you again. And at that moment, their hearts burned inside of them because they realized they were with the Messiah. And I pray that your heart today would also burn inside you as you again remember what he had done for you as we did this morning. It was only when they paused long enough for him to reveal himself that they actually recognized him. And my question to you today is, are you pausing? How often are we so busy and so distracted that we don't actually recognize him? Sometimes we even make the statement, I just don't hear God anymore. And it might be because we tuned in to the metaphorical earphones of the world, the noise of this world, the worry, the pleasure, the comparison. But God comes and he speaks in a whisper. We need to quiet our hearts. We need to quiet our minds. We need to awaken our spirits to hear him. This morning, each of you received a little bookmark of a 3-week Bible reading plan. It's a wonderful opportunity for you to tune out of the noise of the world and tune in to God FM. Say, what does my Father want to say? Let's take this opportunity to say, I want to recognize again who's walking beside me and dig into the Word and again be called people of the book. The final part of this journey is the right load, stripping away everything that slows us down. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So following Jesus means that we are walking at his pace. We don't determine the pace. He determines the pace. And sometimes it's a stroll because he wants to teach us patience. And sometimes we're so bruised and weary,
we just need to let Him carry us. So we're not actually walking even. It's just Him that does the walking. And sometimes it's a run, because He wants to move us forward quickly in Him. And He wants to take us places. And it's in this context that Paul is writing, saying that you can't in a race carry weight. Have you ever seen somebody carrying a backpack, you know, that's meant for hiking on the Comrades Marathon? That won't work. You want to be as light as possible. Even your clothes is as light as possible when you're running in a race. And this is the kind of lightweightedness that Paul is urging the church to have. So life is tough enough. There are things that we sometimes load on us that we shouldn't. What are some of those things? Obviously, sin. Sin is the compromise that erodes our devotion. That is the thing that will steer your heart away from your dedication and commitment to the Lord Jesus. And I pray that sin would never become normal for us as a church. Because as a church, we're called to be different, to be set apart, to be holy, a holy people unto the Lord. Other things that we carry that we shouldn't is stuff, just stuff, materialism. Anxiety and burnout are rising in the church globally. And it's not because of persecution. It's because we are carrying and striving for stuff that holds no eternal value. So what are you lying awake at night about? What are the things that stresses you out? And then another thing that we carry often is the struggles. And let's be real. Life is tough. It's not always easy. We all have financial challenges that we face, and relational challenges, marriage, kids, stuff that we have to get to, busy calendar. Those are the cares of this world. But those things should never weigh us down. 1 Peter 5:17 says, we should actually lay our cares upon Him, because He cares for us. Let Him carry the load. Lay it down again at the feet of Jesus. And this morning is an opportunity for you to do that. Because you can't walk freely with Jesus if you're dragging along what He died to set you free from. If you've been carrying things that He nailed to the cross, this morning is an opportunity to lay them down again and start walking with Him. And so as we close, I want to speak to two groups of people this morning that I believe that the Lord is highlighting. There's two kinds of hearts that He's inviting to come closer to Him. The first group is those who believe in Jesus, but you're not following or recognizing Him. You believe in Him. That's why you're here. Because you know that there must be a God. There must be a Jesus. And you've heard about Him. You believe in Him. But you're not actually actively following or even recognizing His presence beside you. The Lord, in preparation for this, gave me this verse to share with you. And it's from Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And this was written in 586 BC. Now I'm going to share something with you that's going to blow your mind. Recently, between 2011 to 2016, researchers from the Northwestern University of Chicago in USA made a fascinating discovery called the zinc spark. This is when a human sperm fertilizes an egg. There's a tiny flash of light that they have noticed. An explosion of microscopic sparks that appear at the exact moment of conception. And this is because an egg releases zinc ions. And there's a sudden burst as the sperm activates it. Now creation testifies that life begins with light. So the same God who said in the beginning, let there be light, spoke over you in your mother's womb and said, let there be life. I formed you in your mother's womb and I know you. From the very beginning, God knows you. And then later in Psalm chapter 90, we read that the human life spans about 70 or 80 years, and that our days are numbered. All of us, at one point in our life, is going to die. So after that moment of conception, when God breathed you into life, somehow in your life, you turned away from Him and rebelled. He's going to be there at the end. But this in between is up to you to decide whether you want to follow Him. Just yesterday, we celebrated a life of Auntie Elaine, when probably 80-something. And somewhere in her life, she made a decision to follow Jesus. I want to speak to you today if you haven't made that decision yet. We read this morning in Colossians chapter 2 that we must receive Christ. And if there's never been a moment in your life where you have received Christ publicly, I want to ask you to stand up so that you may receive Him with prayer this morning. Is there anyone like that? Say, I want to receive Christ into my life. I want to make a public declaration that I want to follow Him and recognize Him beside. Is there anyone like that?